So namaste, welcome to this contemplation session. And I am here today with Michael. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we're just going to do a live example of a contemplation session where we start with a particular issue that's going on in a life situation, which you could apply to anything that's going on in your life situation. And then we're going to apply the process of contemplation. So the first way we do that is to look at the situation that's going on and identify the emotions that that's bringing us to feel. And then we will go from the emotions to the root story, the belief underneath that, because our mind cannot understand that our outer experience, what I'm living as my life, it's actually a reflection of or an echo of how I'm thinking in here. And these thoughts that we've had for so long, these beliefs are so believed by some part of us that we're not conscious of having those thoughts still. So we can find them through the emotion. So don't worry if it seems a little abstract at the moment as we go through it with me and Michael here today. Hopefully get clearer actually in the session. So, Michael, why don't you start by just kind of let us know what's going on for you and really what led you to sort of volunteer for this session?
Thank you. So the situation that's coming up right now, and it seems to be at a peak, is that I work in the interior design industry and here in the States. And we have such a boom going on, but we're having lots of shortages of supplies and all sorts of management issues within the company and lack of management, let's say, and lots of chaos that's happening. And I'm confronted with several clients with large projects that I have to have very challenging conversation, or what I perceive as very challenging conversations, where clients can get very angry at me. And it did happen. It has happened recently, and it's happening more. And people are expressing their anger at me and about the situation. Why didn't you tell me sooner? How come this is, I prepaid my deposit, and they're like accusing me or making me wrong and making me feel this big. And I'm feeling like I want to quit my job. I can't handle the stress anymore. And like, I know I've go through my life as a people pleaser, and it's worked in many ways. I've got so many clients that come to me for referrals because I handhold clients so well, but I feel like I can't, there's an element of control in there. I can't control the process. I can't control my boss. I can't control other people, and they're not doing their part of the job, and suppliers aren't. And I'm now at this peak of like feeling I'm the bullseye that people are going to shoot the arrow at. And
well, you're right on the front line, aren't you? You're the one talking to the clients, having to apologize and say those things. So you're the one that's going to feel it the most. And yes. So I want to start off by just, I know we spoke about this before we actually started recording, but whenever anything is happening in your life like this, during and after seeing what you actually are, which I know you've done a great deal of, the first and best way to resolve it is to hold the attitude that this is not because this is happening now, not because you're doing something wrong in your awakening process. It's because you're doing something right, that these old ways of being, these old ways of people pleasing, feeling unsafe, all of that is coming to the surface now because it's no longer compatible with what you've seen. And I know that doesn't lessen the impact of when it's actually occurring, but it's going to help you resolve it faster because you're not holding yourself at blame. Every single awakened being has had to go through this process where old patterns come to the surface in a very prominent way, to see that this is not in alignment with how I've seen myself to actually be now. And it's not uncommon at all to have some areas of our life where we're being inauthentic, we're not being who we are right now, meaning we're not doing what's right for us, we're doing what's right for others, and can become quite impossible to continue. So that's why this is coming up, and it's just good to remind ourselves of that when we're facing a pattern like this. So otherwise we can slip back into, this is happening, you know, because I'm doing something wrong, or I haven't seen deep enough, or something like that sneaks in, doesn't it? And slows down the healing process there. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm almost, you know, I'm not getting this.
Here I'm it back is. To where I was before I saw who I, you know, all of that, isn't it? It feels like, yeah.
Which just impacts it even worse, you know?
Yeah, and it's impossible to resolve it from there because that's coming from a place of separation. Yeah. So that's the first thing to kind of try to keep in mind if you can. So let's look at the emotions then that are coming up around this. So when you're in the middle of it, when there's a client in front of you who is really telling you what they think and aiming it all at you, what's the emotions that come up around this? There might be several, but let's see if we can just identify a couple to start with. Or you said it's about sort of feeling very small. What's that in terms of emotions?
I feel very, there's a terrified little boy that shows up, and there's a defensive one, like I'm being blamed for something that I didn't do.
Yeah.
And I have no control over it. And underneath that, there's actually even an anger, like, because I don't want to be treated this way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to live in a world where people are like this.
Yeah. And I deserve better than this as well. You know, it might be sort of, for me, there was a little bit of anger that came up as I'd seen clearer because people were treating me in a way which, firstly, I wouldn't treat them. And it was just my self-worth had shifted to some, or my recognition, I should say, of my own self-worth, that I don't deserve to be treated this way. This isn't my fault, and I'm doing the best I can and all of that. So
that definitely is showing up, and even towards my employer who, you know, dropped the ball on some things and has put me in this position. I'm getting angry towards them because I feel like I shouldn't be treated this way as an employee. It's like that's coming up, but it's anger. But I'm not letting that anger out. I'm
squashing it down because it's safer, isn't it? It's safer if I be that people pleaser. So, so would you say, you said fear is sort of a very fearful,
Fear, anger, and then just like a hopeless sadness, kind of like, you know, depressed kind of.
So that's the one I really want to dive into today, hopeless sadness, because I feel that's at the root of it. And as we apply this process here today with that, you can then apply it to the anger and the fear. But my gut feeling is that it's really about the sadness because, I need the situation to change, but I can't get it to change. So therefore I feel angry that, you know, this is happening to me and I feel disempowered and all of that. Yeah. So without kind of, you tell me what does the sadness say? Not about the situation, but if you just took sadness on its own, sort of this very depressed feeling, I think you mentioned, if it had to tell you something, the sadness, what would it say? Take your time with this. Again, we're not, just for the purpose of explanation, it could say something about this situation, but what does it just say on its own when it's not linked to anything? Because that's the core story that's really continuing this pattern underneath.
Something around I'm never going to be happy. Something around, I'm not worth being loved, valued, appreciated.
Okay. So which one of those do you feel is strongest right now? Because what I'm getting is a kind of a sense of resignation to it. You know, the sadness is like, this is never going to turn around. I'm never, like you said, I'm never going to be happy.
Yeah, it's like that hopeless, like,
there's just no point even in trying or something like that, isn't, you know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
So let's take this one, I'm never going to be happy, because that I think that's one of the core things that's holding the whole, usually with something like this, where there's several emotions, there's one belief that if we work on that one, the whole thing falls apart, you know, in a good way, disintegrates. Does that feel the one that's most important for you? Because that's the one we want to work on.
Yeah, I feel I'm never going to be able to be ever happy.
So maybe we can see that as this belief's in place, whenever you do start to experience success or joy in your life or happiness, it's going to have to get unconsciously sabotaged somehow. Of course, you're not doing it to yourself on purpose, but you as the self, the infinite being, all of these bodies, you know, your managers, everything are all kind of playing out this pattern together, but you're the one that can really make a change here and a difference. So let's go with the question, is it really true I'm never going to be happy? How does that feel for you? Does that feel like the right question for us to work on? Or what question feels alive for you around this?
Is it really true? I don't deserve to be happy. Something around that. Like, I don't. It's not possible. No matter what I do. So there's a sense of.
I feel like there's two things going on. There's this, it's just not possible, like you said. And there's also, I don't deserve it anyway. There's kind of two things going on here. Your mind is trying to maybe explain why it hasn't happened in a consistent way by saying that you don't deserve it or something, you know, but with this belief in place, it's going to keep showing up like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the question that resonates most, feels most kind of vital for you?
I'm never, ever going to be happy.
Okay. So we've looked at the situation, traced it back to the emotion, then to the belief, and then we're going to turn that into a question. Well, is that true? Is that true? And with contemplation, anything that happens when we ask this question during our time together here in your life in general, we're going to look at as an answer. So I'm going to ask you to just let me know what happens when you ask this question inside, and you can remind yourself of the question, is it true? I'm never going to be happy. Is that actually true? Because the emotion is coming from the agreement with it. Yes, that's true. So we're going to challenge that. And anything that happens, so any thoughts, any emotions, any sensations in the body, if anything happens in your environment, knock on the door or something like that, it's all part of the answer. We're just opening up to receive all of the answers, and those answers are going to get deeper and deeper. So obviously you could have a lot of thought answers to this question, positive and negative, right? Mind will say, well, no, look, you see, you can't, you're going around this circle, you're stuck. And it will also say, yeah, you'll transcend this, it'll be right, you know, and it'll tell you both sides of the coin. So just going to ask you, and in your own time, take your time just to tell me the answers that come to this question. And the answers can be, I've got an itch on my foot. That's an answer. You know, it doesn't have to be some profound epiphany, or I'm feeling more relaxed, or I'm feeling quite anxious, or anything and everything. We're not going to eliminate any answer at all in that. But just as they come, is it really true? I can never be happy. And it doesn't matter if there's long pauses between your answers. It's absolutely okay. Let's just see what happens with this question.
Oh, my heart's pounding.
Yep. So whenever we have an answer, whether it's a physiological one, emotional, mental, experiential, they're all just accepted the same. Okay, that's an answer, and we're staying open. There's no right or wrong answer here at all.
I find my mind trying to not, it's kind of going blank, like it doesn't want to remember what the question is.
Yeah. And that's just resistance, because from your mind's perspective, this belief is very true. You've experienced it over and over. So it kind of wants to try to defend that belief, doesn't it? It certainly doesn't want to challenge it and question it. So you might find you keep forgetting the question, and that's okay. It's a good idea to write it down, or, you know, I can remind you of it while we're online like this. Something's going to be sort of scurrying around trying to, you know, oh, you forgot to put the cat out or something. You know, any thought will do except this question. And it's just a subtle way of defending. Mind is going to defend what it thinks is important. So is it really true? I'm never going to be happy. I can never be happy.
My part feels yes, because it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Can be happy at times, but it's fleeting.
Yeah. So there's a thought answer that we're just going to welcome. We're not going to judge. But instead of closing up around that, instead of that being the final answer, we're just going to stay open and see what else wants to come. That's not the wrong answer. There isn't a right answer either.
So, like a loneliness feeling.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like a embarrassed feeling.
Okay, so you're just doing your best to allow those as answers, you know. Yes, they don't feel so nice, but they're also valid answers. We're not going to judge any answers as good or bad. Because in the openness of this question, sometimes energies can move that haven't been able to before. So that you might feel those as emotions or literally energy moving through the body.
It's an emptiness. This is sadness for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like a hopelessness. No way out.
So just doing the best you can to allow those answers emotionally. And although they don't feel so pleasant, you're doing a great job.
I feel like I'm having a hard time breathing. Like I feel a tightness.
Mm-hmm.
Like so a
tension edge. In a particular area, contraction. Yeah.
Like an edge of a panic attack. Like I've had those before, and it's just like on the edge there, you know?
Okay. So just remind ourselves of the question. Is it really true that I can never be happy? Because we want to welcome and allow all answers, but we don't want to dwell on any particular one. We're just kind of open. It's kind of a stance, isn't it? More of an attitude energetically. So that breath you just took there is a kind of answer as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you might notice that the longer we stay with this question, the more the answers are becoming emotional or energetic rather than mental thoughts, kind of going deeper into the deeper answers. Not deeper necessarily as in more profound, but just the ones we haven't really wanted to look at fully or haven't been able to.
I feel a quietness. I can hear the waves outside the window crashing. Like I feel more present.
So there's a kind of experiential answer happening there as well. Just more presence, more quietness. And that can be there alongside these emotions too. You know, they're probably not gone. It might be there as well. But just noticing that's also an answer. Just a quietness. And of course, the waves outside. Just giving space for this question together. There's just nothing else we need to do here to heal this, just to give space for the question and for any answers that need to come. Is it really true? I can never be happy. How does your body feel now? Does it still feel that tightness?
That tightness in my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. So you might be able to kind of sense where your body is actually holding the effect of this belief, can't you know? For me, there's a lot around my shoulders, my jaw, my stomach, you know, very gut level anxiety.
Yeah. It's a heavy feeling.
Mm-hmm. Is that your whole body, just the kind of feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Again, just reminding ourselves of the question, is it really true? I'll never be happy. I can never be happy. And then also reminding there's no right or wrong answer. There's just increasingly, there's this quietness in which all these phenomenal answers are happening, thoughts, emotions, and sensations. There's the non-phenomenal answer, the kind of quietness, the presence. And then there's the other answers, and they're all just equally valid.
Like tingling going on the body.
Okay. So just the act of questioning this, challenging this belief, starts to allow the body to relax a little. That first may manifest as being aware of the tensions in various places, but overall, we've been having these tensions in our body for so long, we just haven't been aware of them. Finally, as we open up with a question, energy systems open, we might begin to feel things like this. For me, it's to get goosebumps or a little tingly or just energy moving where it hadn't moved before or has been struggling to move around the body. And just a sense of a bit more relaxation as we stay with the question. It doesn't mean any of the emotions have had to go or anything. We're just more relaxed anyway, even with all that going on. And we're not trying to fix anything here, are we? We're just sitting together with a question, seeing what comes out of that.
Yeah.
Let's stay with it for another couple of minutes and see where this goes to. You're doing really well with this.
It's like a thought coming up, like, I'm not allowed or something to be happy, like the thwarting of my happiness or something, like I'm happy and then something happens. And so, but I'll just stay with.
You might notice mind trying to explain why it's been like this, trying to, that's what it does, isn't it? It's trying to find out why this is happening.
It's just very heavy and exhausting.
That tiredness, that kind of exhausting feeling is the body beginning to release its tension. It can feel like, oh, I suddenly feel like I've put on 20 pounds or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or somebody turned the gravity up in the room.
Yeah. My stomach just feels three times bigger than it is.
Yeah.
The question feels more truer, like, is it really true? I'm not allowed to be happy.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now the question is shifting. And that's quite common as you are shifting in vibration, your mind and body, just by staying open. So the question may shift. So is it true I'm not allowed to be happy? And that's a higher place vibrationally than I can never be happy, isn't it? Is it true I'm not allowed? Is a different, it's got possibility there, isn't it, that wasn't there before?
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, where anger rises for me around that, because then I feel like being thwarted from my happiness by others or circumstances.
So let's just stay with this question. Is it really true I'm not allowed to be happy. Anger is a higher vibration than sadness and kind of apathy. Okay. So we're heading in the right direction. There's nothing wrong with anger. We just like to keep on moving through it and out the other side.
I can certainly see how I believe that in my life. I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
Kids used to tease me as being gay because I was like probably a happy kid and I was made wrong for it, you know. I know.
So it's this learned pattern, isn't it, that I'm not allowed to be happy, so there's no point really trying or something like that. Yeah. That's the sadness, wasn't it, underneath? There's just no point in really trying.
And everybody, like, even growing up, like in my household, like people just didn't seem happy. You know, and then when I expressed my happiness, like it was made wrong.
Yeah. You have to be miserable like the rest of us, you know, or something.
Yeah. To fit in.
That's just mirroring itself now in your adult life, isn't it? That any situation where you start to experience real happiness, something has to go south in that, you know. So let's see if we can shift the question. And again, only if it feels right with you. Why aren't I allowed to be happy? How does that one feel?
Yeah. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. And again, just staying open. Why aren't I actually allowed to be happy?
Tears are coming out.
There's an emotional answer. That's okay, isn't it? Just take your time. You're doing really well. What's happening now with your body and with your mind?
Well, I'm contemplating it and thoughts are coming, you know, why am I not because of this situation or this situation? So thought answers are coming.
Yeah.
Heat on my body, like I'm feeling like warm waves.
Yeah.
But curiosity.
So it's a kind of curiosity is a kind of emotional answer, isn't it? It's a more positive emotion. And we can just allow that. Actually, I'm just curious, really, what is this actually about? What's underneath all of this? And there's an openness there, which is a lighter frequency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, it's not the right answer. It's just the answers are becoming ever more sort of positive and higher in vibration as we stay with the questioning process. How does your body feel? Is it still tense?
I still have something in my shoulder for sure, but my breathing's better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very present. Like everything feels very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't feel disconnected from, like, I feel like the wall feels like right there. Like objects feel very close to me.
Yeah.
Very zoomed in. Like.
And that hopefully feels calm and nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So just let's give this one more minute with this question. Let's see where it goes in this minute. Do you need me to remind you of the question or you're okay?
Please, yeah.
So why can't I actually be happy?
It's like there's a softening in the mind, a quietening.
Mm-hmm. Because after mind said, well, this reason and that reason, this person, that thing, he doesn't really know what else to say about this, does it? It's kind of, I don't know, actually. And it kind of, that's his experiential answer. It's kind of out of suggestions, just blank or something. Naturally, you start to move to a place where the question just seems less and less relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not gone, but maybe you can see that if we sat here long enough, that eventually the question will become irrelevant because I'm happy and peaceful right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the tension in your shoulder and whatever emotions are coming up, might be some fear there. More and more, I'm experiencing the fact that it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually feeling happy, content, all of that, more and more.
Yeah.
And that non-phenomenal answer, you said you're feeling very present, just comes more and more to the foreground of your experience. And everything else is sort of more and more in the background, isn't it? Not getting rid of anything, are we? We haven't tried to get rid of anything. There's just an openness with the question that allows sort of reality to come to the forefront more and more.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you kind of oriented your life around this question? You know, what would happen if you took this question with you as you move about your day? Perhaps a certain amount of answers might be negative, sort of negative emotions. You encounter a client at work that, you know, and the same thing happens. And but as you hold on to this question, as your frequency changes, your experience has to mirror that more and more. So you just won't be able to kind of line up with that client that's really angry. They'll end up talking to someone else or mm-hmm. venting their anger on someone else. And yeah. You're more likely to encounter people that are understanding, well, I know it's not your fault, it's just a little frustrating, you know, something like that. So can you see the process of contemplation is kind of open-ended? That the longer you stay with this question, the more positive your experience is going to be in this area.
Yeah.
And the more relevant answer is the experiential one. Again, not right or wrong, just
right.
If I'm open, I'm more likely to be experiencing happiness anyway. And then this idea that I can't be happy, I'm not allowed to be happy, becomes less and less relevant in that. You can't quite believe it as much. Each time you ask the question, your believometer, if you will, has dipped down. So you could say, we started this session, maybe it was right up at 100%. It really seemed impossible for you to be completely happy.
Yeah.
Now, if you kind of feel that out inside you, it might feel different. It might be down to 90% or 80 or something like that. You know, and that's okay. As much as you ask this question, it's going to, and then your experience begins to reflect that back to you. Nicer clients, people that respect you and want to work with you, and people that are more conscious around you and all of that.
Yeah.
So if you took 5 to 10 minutes, if you can, each morning, and maybe before you go to bed at night, just to sit with this question. And if you're right in the middle of a moment where it's happening, it's playing out in your life, if you can remember to ask, then it's good. Oh, here's just an example. I don't believe I'm allowed to be happy. This is just showing me this belief is still being, we're not expecting miracles. We don't have to get that meter right down to 0% right now, but it's going in the right direction. And the more you sort of see, experience this, just being present. We haven't changed anything about your life, but how you feel is starting to change. So your happiness becoming clearer and clearer. My happiness is only dependent on my own self and not anyone else.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the experience is going to disappear immediately in your life. It may happen again a couple of times, but it won't be quite so impactful each time, less and less so, because you're believing it less and less each time.
Yeah. I feel a shift to that. I think I put a lot of energy into trying to make people's lives happy.
Yeah.
In order to make my life happy and just feel.
We've got to do a 180 on that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm happy, I'll be surrounded by happy people.
Yeah.
It's never going to work the other way around, is it?
It's exhausting.
Yeah. And it's time now, obviously, to release that. We all do that, don't we, as a way to feel safe. If I make you like me, then I'll feel better, you know, that kind of thing. If I'm the person I think you want me to be, I'll feel better. I'll feel happier and safer and more loved and all of that.
It's interesting because last month I was contemplating, am I an imposter? It came up on something, and it's funny that this has come up now, that imposter of happiness.
In a way, we have all been a little bit, haven't we? Because we have lost sight of what makes us happy. Just being happy and trying to get it from controlling our, if I control my experience in a certain way, then I can be happy. And it's just a shift over that's happening now in certain areas of your life, isn't it? From the old way, when I get all my ducks lined up in a row the way I want them to be. An expression here in England, I don't know if you use it there, but when I get my ducks lined up in a row, you know, then I'll be happy, and not till then. And it's just this shift over now to, okay, when I'm open, I can't believe this quite so much, and I'll feel happier, and then my experience is going to reflect that back to me.
Yeah.
So I want you to sit with this question a little bit during the day, maybe over the next 30 days. As long as you want to, you can, but at least 10 minutes if you can. And then watch for signs. Watch for, you said that you journal, so that's great. Watch for tiny little signs, you know. So did the angry customer, she might have still really been angry at you, but she might have come back 10 minutes later and said, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to, you know. So just some little signs of the manifestation, the experience changing. They will be there. We just have to put a little attention on them, because we've been so focused on what we don't want in our experience. Wonderful. How are you feeling now?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. And how was your experience of contemplation? Hopefully it was a lot simpler than, you know, than you might have thought before.
Yeah. Actually, it's I've been practicing it a lot, you know, as the I got it recorded, the meditation, self-inquiry and contemplation, and it's a go-to for me, that YouTube video. So, but doing it this way took me to a deeper core contemplative question or root.
Sometimes they're buried underneath other beliefs that mind is using to try to explain why it's happening. And just as you start to dig deeper, you'll sort of see, oh, this is really about this. This is what it's actually about there. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I know it'll help a lot of people. And I look forward to hearing the results of that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye.